Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, we do our Reardon Roundtable on Friday afternoons at 3 o'clock. Jane Duker is the Democrat staple, if you will. Jane and I have been doing the Roundtable for a long time together. So what happens is Fred has to get one person from her side and then one, you know, conservative for me. And we hash out these topics. Well, Jane is off for a couple of weeks. She's doing some traveling. And, of course, that's awesome for her. We don't have as many D's as we do R's because I try to avoid the crazy Democrats. And as you might imagine, it's hard to find non-crazy Democrats. But I'm telling you, we're having so much trouble getting someone for this week, we may have to book a listener. So if you're a lefty listener who wants to be on the roundtable, apply with Fred. He might be able to hook you up. But we will do a roundtable one way or the other. I will tell you tomorrow, we have the new Attorney General, Catherine Hanaway, on at 4:30, Senator Eric Schmidt, in 24 hours. Oh, and then John O'Leary. You know, his movie opens Soul on Fire tomorrow nationwide. It's an amazing, uplifting story. John is a St. Louis native who literally set himself on fire when he was a little kid. He almost died. The legendary broadcaster for the Cardinals and other sports, Jack Buck, is credited with keeping John's hope alive and keeping him alive. And William H. Macy plays Jack Buck. So we're going to have John on the show. I'm going to see the movie finally tomorrow night. Dwayne Patterson is back with us from hotair.com, the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm great, Mark. Not like there's anything going on in the world.
Well, I want to start with the biggest story that everyone's talking about, and that's that Dolly Parton is still alive, Dwayne.
Well, today's October the 8th, and obviously I'm here. Everybody thinks that I am sicker than I am. Do I look sick to you?
No, she does not. She is still alive. Her sister's spreading terrible rumors. This has dominated the news coverage. I'm sure that your show spent 3 hours on that today. But just to make sure that everyone knows, Dolly is okay.
All I know about that story is there's apparently a rift now between Reba McEntire and Dolly Parton, because Dolly said, I'm not sure Reba would be the person would be at my bedside on my deathbed.
Wow.
So there's something going on between Dolly and Reba. So
I love that. A little cat fight, a little country cat fight, if you will, right?
Exactly.
But this is the story that's starting to get a little movement on the social media. You just tweeted this out. I guess Trump's having this roundtable discussion on Antifa. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, walks over, kind of whispers in his ear, and then there's a reaction.
Yeah, I was just given a note by the Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East, and they're going to need me pretty quickly, so I will take a couple of more questions.
So there you go. Maybe we do have. I mean, this was announced a couple of weeks ago. The terms were announced. It seems like we may have some movement on that this afternoon, Dwayne.
Yes. What I was hearing is earlier in the day that there was a possibility that a deal would be ready to go and announced by Thursday, but everything is very, very fluid. Marco Rubio was going to be going to Paris. That trip has been canceled, and apparently he's about ready to head over to the Middle East, along with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. And now there's potential talk that Trump's going to clear his schedule, and he may be going over to the Middle East. He may be going to Israel on Sunday to supervise the transfer of the hostages that are released. So, I mean, this thing is really fluid. And, of course, you know, I have no idea what's in this deal. You have no idea what's in this deal. Nobody has any idea what's in this deal except the ones that are negotiating it. And I don't trust Hamas as far as I can throw it. So all that goes into play here. But what if he negotiates this thing and they get the hostages released? I don't trust the Qatar government, but the same Qatar government now recognizes who the hegemon is in the region, which is Israel. They recognize Trump's influence, and so now they're reforming Al Jazeera and throwing a bunch of people off Al Jazeera. They treated Al Jazeera like CBS News is now going through an overhaul. So there's a lot of things happening that don't normally add up that makes you think that maybe this is a little different. So
yeah,
I'm willing to see what this deal is.
So what's the reaction then from the non-Jew-hating members of Congress if Trump actually gets something done here?
You see, here's the thing. If Donald Trump can actually pull this off, and it's a big if, admittedly a big if, but if he can address the nation from the Oval Office tonight and saying, well, the hostages will be here Friday. I'm going to go welcome them and fly them back on Air Force One when we go pay him a visit and sign this deal on Sunday. If he can pull that off, how small is Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and the Senate Democrats for closing down the government? How small does that make them?
Even smaller than they are right now. Look, and you know, that can bring us to that conversation. Doesn't seem like we're any closer, but the Democrats don't have any more leverage than they did last week. They're not going to get any more leverage. Senator Kennedy and others saying, maybe next week. I don't know exactly what they're trying to negotiate here. I mean, obviously the Obamacare subsidies are what are being discussed publicly, so they're looking for some commitment. I think Trump's going to say, yeah, look, we can talk about this, but we ain't talking about it until we pass the CR.
The subsidies that they're talking about that were, quote, temporary subsidies just to get Obamacare through the COVID years were set to expire at the end of this year, meaning end of December or November, by the Democrats who wrote the bill. They didn't want it to be there forever. So it's expiring because of the Democrats' hand, not because of the Republicans. But if it expires in November, there's no reason to shut the government down over it now, because this is what regular order is all about. That's why they have committee hearings. That's why they can haggle this out, and the two parties can come up with legislation and go through normal regular order. This whole premise is nonsense from the get-go.
This is Speaker Johnson.
There is one sad and inescapable fact that no one can forget here. This shutdown is nothing more than political cover for Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. They are worried about the Marxists flanked in their Democrat Party. The Marxists are about to elect a mayor in New York City. That's Chuck Schumer's state, and he's terrified that he's going to get a challenge from his far left.
All right, so here's Hakeem and Chuck.
A one-year extension of the Affordable Care Act tax credits is not acceptable. It's a non-starter. Like, what world are these MAGA extremists living in right now?
The bottom line is that Trump and his people are trying to threaten, use these people as pawns, and say they're not going to get paid, they're not going to get back pay, and all of these kinds of things. They realize it. So I've talked to air traffic controllers. I've talked to many, and they resent how Trump is trying to use them.
All right, so they're trying to sell it on their side, obviously. Hakeem is hilarious because he knows that no one is going to challenge him on the reality of the subsidy, so he can say stupid stuff like that.
Did you see the bit on the floor outside his office, outside the communications office of the House Democrats, when Mike Lawler of New York confronted him?
Yes, I did. I didn't pull the audio of this, but Lawler went up. I saw some of the images. They were kind of jawing at one another, right?
They were going toe-to-toe. Now, here's the thing. Mike Lawler is a New York moderate Republican. He's fiscally conservative, But he's a Northeast, kind of a center-right, moderate Republican, which the party needs if you're going to win anywhere in those North Atlantic states. You have to be a little kind of center-right and a little more centrist on social issues. So it wasn't long ago in this country when, ideologically speaking, Mike Lawler and the leader of the Democrats, whoever that is, ideologically speaking, are not that far apart. But those two were going nose to nose, toe to toe, like they were just a ring announcer and a ref away from a cage match.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong about how, you know, the divergence, if you will, from where common sense used to be, even if you had a Democrat in charge, and to where it is now, is just mind-boggling. Let's talk about a couple other things here that are happening nationwide. On this this story that came out a couple of days ago involving Senator Hawley and other members of the Senate and one member of Congress on Jack Smith. Now, look, one of the things, because I think the facts are important, when Senator Hawley says wiretapping, these were not phone calls that were being wiretapped, right? There were still things that are questionable, egregious here that Jack Smith is accused of conducting, but they weren't listening to the phone calls of members of the Senate. Having said that, they're tracking their movements. They're trying to see who they're communicating with, right? All of that is still questionable. And I've even heard some Democrats who have said, yeah, this is troubling.
Who's calling them, who they are calling, what location both ends of the phone are,
right.
the lengths of the call. And that's what we know now. And that's just because of a whistleblower talking to Chuck Grassley. Do we know for absolute certainty that whistleblower can verify that the actual contents of the call weren't tapped?
We can't.
I don't know if we know everything.
I don't think we know that yet, but that would put that into a different stratosphere, that's for sure.
Sure would.
But even the way it sits right now, I'm surprised.
It's still bad.
Yeah,
it's still really bad.
Look, let me play that. This guy's usually crazy. Chris Coons actually says something that might make sense here.
If true, it is something I think urgently needs more investigation, and we need to better understand on what basis the cell phones of a number of senators were targeted, not to listen to their conversations, but to track who they were calling and from where, which... just on the surface of it, would strike me as a significant invasion of the right of senators to conduct their jobs. So this is something I think needs urgent follow-up.
What do you know? Usually he's nuts. Here's Lindsey Graham.
Just so Chuck Schumer can create this theater. It's a farce, and we've got to stop all of it.
Let me know if I heard this correctly from Senator Coons, a Democrat. He seems concerned.
Well, that was the wrong soundbite, and I apologize. That was not Lindsey Graham.
That was not Lindsey Graham, and that was
Dana Perino. So I apologize for that. But obviously, this they're going to continue to go back and forth on this. Do you have a sense? Because the Democrats feel, I think, that the polling is on their side in this whole thing. At least they're convincing themselves of that.
Look, the polling is definitely not. I put up on X a little bit earlier today. So the Democratic Party, which polls right now at an approval rate of about 36%, historical lows for the Democratic Party. So that party is holding the government hostage, which, according to Harry Enten at CNN, 65% of Americans want the Democrats to accept the clean CR and end this nonsense. So a 36% approval party is shutting down the government against 65% of the country's wishes over an issue of largely consisting of health care subsidies and reimbursements for illegal aliens, an issue that cuts against Democrats 70-30. And the way to make this strategy work, the way they're going to achieve success in this plan, is for mainstream media, for legacy media, to carry their water and help them propel that message that it's really Donald Trump's fault. The same media, which, by the way, Gallup shows that has a 26% trustworthy index number right now. So keep it up, Democrats. This is exactly the way every single Republican candidate would want you to draw this plan up. This is just spectacular.
Dwayne Patterson back with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. You know, you're out there in California. We found it very interesting, and at first I didn't think there was going to be much to this, but this news conference that took place this morning about the Palisades fire and the arrest that they made of this kid, the details are really intriguing, aren't they?
They really are, because apparently, according to reality and the real world, it's not climate change that just spontaneously combusted the Pacific Palisades.
Go figure.
It turns out that not only is this YouTube firebug arsonist responsible for setting the fire, and they've got all the evidence and details on it, but apparently he donated, although be it small donations, because he's an Uber driver by trade. He donated money to both Joe Biden and Act Blue over the last election cycle, wouldn't you know?
Yeah, go figure. Another left-wing violent person. Let me ask this question. I'm going to pitch a story idea to you here and see what you think. I mean, I don't know the answer to this. Dwayne also produces Hugh Hewitt's show. Do you guys do sometimes, and I apologize for not knowing this, but do you do lighter, like more featurey type stories on the show at all or not?
Oh! Now, see, now you're getting right in my wheelhouse. Does Hugh lighten up and have fun every once in a while? He does. It's some of the best radio we ever do, in my personal humble opinion. On my Dwayne's World podcast, every Thursday, there is a humorist that lives up in Minnesota named James Lilacs, and I've known James for 25 years. Every Thursday, usually every Thursday, the second half of my podcast, we do the top 10 dumbest things said of the week, and I'll grab just the most insane things said by a Democrat and make my own personal 10
best. No, I've seen that, yeah. And you do write about that on Hot Air. I love that segment, yeah.
And every once in a while I'll write about it in Hot Air, but I'll play those clips for James, and he and I will cut up and go all sorts of places for about half an hour. So, yeah, we definitely lighten up and
well,
have fun.
And I knew that you had fun. I guess let me focus the question a little differently. And, by the way, it sounds like someone's running a lawnmower in the background. I'm not sure what that noise is, but it's
that would
weird.
That would be my studio where we have a TriCaster broadcast equipment that they decided to park in my office. So it sounds like I'm next to a...
Yeah.
Air conditioner.
It's like a big hum or something. But here's my pitch, because he's a friend. He's going to be on my show on Friday. There's a guy named John O'Leary, and there's a movie that comes out tomorrow called Soul on Fire. And I don't know if you've seen the ads. This is a nationwide release. And it's an amazing story, Dwayne. John was a little kid when he set himself on fire. He should have been dead. And he's in the hospital, and the legendary Cardinals broadcaster, who also called a lot of national sports, Jack Buck, Joe Buck's father, is credited with saving this kid's life, literally, because he went to visit him in the hospital every day. And John's been a motivational speaker, and you know he's written a book about his story, but they finally made this into a feature major Hollywood motion picture. They filmed most of it here in St. Louis. It opens tomorrow. And if you're interested, if Hugh's interested, I could get John O'Leary, because it really is a magical story, inspirational. It's the kind of story we need, especially right now in America.
Yeah, send along to me. I'd love to take a look at it.
I will do that. Dwayne, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
You got it, man.
All right, take care. That's Dwayne Patterson. He joins us from time to time. One of the stories that I did not cover with him, because I want to play the audio, is this Katie Porter, former congresswoman from California, who's running for governor, who got into a bit of a kerfuffle with a CBS reporter out there. That's kind of fascinating. That's coming up. Chris Kerber at the bottom of the hour talking Blues hockey. They start the season tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles.
like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'll let the music play a little longer than usual because I'm going to cover this Katie Porter story, but there's some new audio that's out there. So Katie Porter is a former congresswoman from California who's running for governor of California. And there's a new story this afternoon, and I just sent the audio to Ethan's Politico, and I was already going to talk about this. I'm going to play you something that happened with a reporter out in Sacramento. But a new video, Katie Porter has a reputation for being nasty to her staff. Those were some of the stories that came out earlier this year. She's apparently the front runner in the race to be California governor. So there's a new video. I'm going to see if I can flip this around, if Ethan's got time to do this, blasting a staffer who interrupted a meeting that the former House member was taping for the Biden administration. And she says, "Get out of my blanking shot," after this employee comes into view. And I guess this shows an online exchange between Porter and then Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm in July of 2021. So I'm going to see if I can get that audio turned on. But this is what happened with this interview with this reporter from a CBS affiliate. And apparently the reporter was asking the same questions that she had asked Julie Watts, is her name. Maybe she's not a local Californian. She might have been a CBS News correspondent, Julie Watts. That's how she's identified. And the interview does not go well. Let's just put it that way.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win, who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, ma'am?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're
saying. In a general election, yes. If it is me versus a Republican, I think that I will win the people who did not vote for Trump.
What if it's you versus another Democrat?
I don't intend that to be the case.
So how do you not intend that to be the case? Are you going to ask them not to run?
No, I'm saying I'm going to build the support. I have the support already in terms of name recognition. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that we get through this primary in a really strong position. But let me be clear with you. I represented Orange County. I represented a purple area. Mm-hmm. I have stood on my own 2 feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't.
I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative.
All right, so this is where it kind of turns. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a contrarian viewpoint on this because, look, I'm no Katie Porter fan. I think she's nasty and vile and evil Democrat, quite candidly, and she'd by far be worse than Gavin Newsom running the state of California. But when it gets a little testy here, I'll play the rest of it. The reporter did say, do you need them to win? I think she's right. She does not need the 40% of Trump voters to win that race in California. Let's face it. It's a Democrat state. But having said that, I don't think she did herself any favors in this interview because it got worse from there.
Question.
The question is the same thing I asked everybody, that this is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other
Correct.
Candidate has answered this question. This is not
argumentative. And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40 percent of California voters to win, and you're saying no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want
to
keep doing this. I'm going to call it.
She gets very frustrated. She doesn't think that she's communicating her point. I kind of understand her point about not needing the Trump voters to win because it's California. The reporter is insistent that, look, these are the same questions that we're asking all the other candidates. And at this point, she says, I'm calling it. She looks like she's about to get up out of the chair. And they just kept rolling.
Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with seven follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered our follow-ups.
I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation, which you ask me about every issue on this list.
Pleasant? Pleasant's an interesting word to use considering her tone in this.
And if every question you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never reporter. Had to do this before.
Okay, well, this is where it gets ridiculous. She's never had to do this before. Reporters ask follow-up questions all the time. It happens to Carolyn every day. I mean, you shouldn't even have to ask if you should do a follow-up question because you're doing an interview with a candidate who's running for governor.
You've never had to have
to
a conversation with
to end an
reporter?
Interview.
Okay, but every other candidate has done this.
I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make...
So you're not
going to
answer questions from reporters? Okay, why don't we go through... I will continue to ask follow-up questions because that's my job as a journalist, but I will go through and ask these, and if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer. So nearly every legislative...
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you. And I don't want this all on camera.
Too late.
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you either. I would love to continue to ask these questions so that we can show our viewers what every candidate... feels about every one of these issues that they care about. And redistricting, it's a massive issue. We're going to do an entire story just on the responses to that question. And I've asked everybody the same follow-up questions.
Well, you know what? When she throws in, I might approach this a little differently now because the question about the Trump voters when it relates to redistricting actually is, you know, intriguing and interesting. But she did not do herself any favors in that interview. It doesn't matter, though. They're so crazy in California. She's probably the next governor.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Newly appointed Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway on the show tomorrow at 4:30. Also, Senator Eric Schmidt in the 5 o'clock hour. We have our roundtable set for Friday. Jeff Rainford, Mike Elam, and also Donna Behringer, who is the comptroller of the city of St. Louis. Ethan, as you know, hockey got started this week. I was watching a little bit of the game that was on last night with the Panthers, and the Blues kick off their season tomorrow. The voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, is back with us this afternoon. Kerbs, how are you?
Mark, I'm doing good. How are you, bud?
I'm doing really good, and I know Ethan's very excited for hockey.
Can't wait.
Feel that there's excitement in the air in St. Louis, and there's a little difference for you because you're doing TV and radio this season. That's a change, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to take our radio show to the TV side this year, myself and Joe Vitale, and then they're going to take the audio of that TV call, and that's how they're going to put it out over the radio. So I don't think fans are going to notice a huge difference. I think it's going to be still exciting and fun for the fans, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to really go have some fun with what I think is going to be a great team.
Are you positioned in the arena in a different way, or are you still up in the press box at the top?
Where the TV broadcast position has been for the home team in St. Louis, it's been down in that front row of section 320.
Okay.
So we're going to go down there, give that a shot, and we'll see if it's different. The thing is, when Enterprise Center was built, all those years ago, it wasn't Enterprise Center, obviously, right? But when that building was built in 94, 95, the press box was seemed high compared to a lot of buildings, and it was. Well, now, when you compare it to most buildings in the league, the actual press box is lower and closer to the ice than most. So, yeah, like, you're further up and you're further back in a lot of them. Like, the absolute, maybe the worst building to broadcast in the entire league, believe it or not, is Edmonton now from that standpoint. So, those are the changes, but our broadcast locations in St. Louis have always been pretty good.
Awesome. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about hockey, Ethan.
Hey, Chris. Ethan Hanford here. I had a quick question regarding the simulcast. As someone working into the play-by-play business myself, what have you learned about some of the differences, even some of the challenges for yourself of being able to call a game simultaneously for radio and television?
Look, I don't think you really do anything different. First off, we got to mention the sport, okay? When you look at hockey compared to the other sports, I've been saying this to people lately, basketball, baseball, football, and hockey. Let's compare those four, okay? Hockey's the fastest of the four by far, by absolute far.
Absolutely.
Baseball and football each have a definitive starting point and end point to every single play for the most part, okay? Basketball, like hockey, is a bit continuous, but it's much slower. And then with the camera angles that they use because of the smaller configuration of the court, you're really on TV, you're right more on top of it. Hockey, you're not. Hockey, some of these broadcast locations or some of these camera locations where fans kind of jump up and they can get in the way. The sport is just that much faster, right? And even in basketball, when, say, the big play, the point's about to happen, you see somebody drive the middle, you see the dunk, you see the three-point shot, right? In hockey, it could be a play across the ice, goes off a skate to somebody, quick stick, bang, it's put in the back of the net. Or it could be the same play and you get the save of the year. I just think in hockey, it's a sport that for the fan experience on television, it's enhanced by more of a traditional radio call. I was listening last night. I went back and I watched Gary Thorne call the Stanley Cup Final Game 3 in 1997. And I opened up a different tab so I couldn't see the video, and I was listening to that TV call, and I thought, okay, if this is radio, how would this sound? And you'd have been, honestly, you knew exactly what was going on. So I think it's a lot more of a concern, honestly, for maybe some fans than it will be, and I think we're going to show fans that their experience is still going to be really good.
All right, on that front, the experience is always better when the team is good and when they're winning. And there's a lot of young talent on this team. There's a lot of potential, but this would be a year. Well, you tell me, what are the realistic expectations for this squad right now?
You know what? If the St. Louis Blues compete most of the season for one of the top three spots in the division, Mark, I think that's a realistic expectation. I think outside expectation is I think they can compete for a division title. If you stretch it, if some things go well, if you stay healthy, if you get some bounces there, right? But I think realistically, a team that has chased the playoffs the last few years, didn't get in for the last two until last year. You know, so two out of the last three they didn't. They get in last year. I think the other real expectation is you want to see them in the thick of the hunt and holding on to a spot and defending it rather than having to win stretches of games just to get into a spot and need some help with some other teams losing. So to me, the expectations are you've got to get off to a really good start to accomplish this and then play consistent hockey through it. I think they have the coach, I think they have the veteran team, and I think they have kind of a swagger right now after last year to pull that off.
You look at this forward group, personally, I get super excited at the potential. You mentioned some of that young talent that this team has, Chris. I'm curious, in your eyes, personally, what is going to be the strength of the St. Louis Blues in 2025-26?
Well, it's going to start with their goaltending. I think Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer, they're going to really back it up. I think, look, obviously a lot is made of Jordan Binnington, as it should be, but this season I think you're going to see closer to a, I don't know if it'll come out to a 50-50 split or a little less than that, but I think that the nature of the games, the heaviness of this division and the schedule are going to dictate that you're going to want to keep Jordan fresher throughout the season. That means that the continued development of Joel Hofer is going to be really important. Then from there it's down, you know, you kind of go down the middle. You've got, you know, just stalwart defensemen and guys like Colton Parayko and Cam Fowler and Justin Falk. And then the center ice position, going from Robert Thomas to Braden Schenn to Pugh Suter to Nick Bjugstad and Oscar Sundquist. Down the middle, it doesn't matter the sport, right? You've got to have a good centerman in basketball. You've got to have a good battery in baseball. You got to have a good quarterback in football. You got to have a good down the middle in hockey too. And to me, I think when the Blues went out and found Pugh Suter and Bjugstad, they were basically signaling that the regroup, whatever they wanted to call it, is over, and they're in a competitive window now. Now the key is how quickly can they get their game together coming out of the gate that allows them to really compete and push those teams for a division title.
Oscar Sundquist, currently week to week, I believe Doug Armstrong said, with a lower body injury. For these first handful of games, is there any concern as to how they're going to handle the fourth line center, that fourth line in general, or do you feel pretty confident in what Jim Montgomery is going to have set up there?
Doesn't matter who. I mean, look, last year that WTF line was really good and really set the tone, and that's why you saw them starting games in the playoffs. The injury is unfortunate because Oscar had a healthy summer and was really good, but he does have a history of getting banged up. So I don't think anybody thought he was going to have a completely healthy year. Doug did say week to week there, Ethan, but he also said week to week is really kind of just a week, right?
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think there's any concern, and that's why you went on and they signed what they did. I mean, Nick Bjugstad is a 6'4" big centerman in that middle that can still move, and I thought he had a really good camp. So with the speed of Porovchenko and the bulldog of Nathan Walker in the mix, that fourth line's going to be just fine. I mean, yeah, frankly, the Blues have come out of camp for the most part really healthy except for that injury to Sundquist, and that's a positive.
This I mean, you got to be ready to go here. What are you, about 4 or 5 months up? But this season is long, isn't it? It's like 7 months until the playoffs.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. The playoffs will start, April 16th, somewhere right around there. But there's going to be a two to two and a half week break in the middle of the season in February because NHL players are participating in the Olympics again this year over in Italy. So it's going to be a lot of cramped games. Coming out of that break, you're going to have 20. You want to talk about an exciting stretch. 23 games after the Olympic break from there to the end of the season. That's still just over a quarter of your season that you're going to play, basically playing every other day. It's going to be a sprint. It's going to be intense. And frankly, the team that can stay healthiest and freshest is the teams that are going to come out on top.
You know, I was watching some of the ESPN coverage last night, and they were showing Alex Ovechkin, who I guess tonight starts in his, well, if he plays tonight, in his 21st season. I mean, isn't he like 80 years old now at this point?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool to still be able to. And you know what? Him and Sidney Crosby, like last night in the Pittsburgh game, you had Crosby, Malkin, and Letang beginning their 20th season together.
That's nuts.
Right now, we just witnessed that in St. Yeah, it is. But we think about it. We just witnessed it in St. Louis with Molina and Wainwright. We witnessed 19 years together, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine if Albert Pujols had stayed with them the whole time. Mm-hmm. We'd have seen something pretty close. But here's what's crazier. Those three guys were playing, were opening up their 20th season together, right? And there's a kid named Kendall that was centering their third line that's 18 years of age, right? That's part of their roster, right? And I think they had a defenseman with Letang that was 19 years of age. So these guys were still playing in the NHL when some of their teammates, you know, weren't even a fun night out yet.
I know. Right? That really is. I mean, it's impressive and crazy at the same time. Kerbs, good to have you on. Haven't seen you in a while. You've been avoiding me on the racquetball court. We'll see if we can correct that into the season as well.
Well, yeah, your athleticism is really scary, Mark. I got to work up the courage to get back out there, and I'm hoping that happens.
Whatever. You're breaking up. See you later.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Well, we have our big birthday party celebration coming up here in a couple weeks on Thursday, October 23rd, at the Lit Cigar Lounge out in the Chesterfield Valley. It'll be both indoor and outdoor, at least we hope it will, because of the weather. And we're going to do the show live from 3 to 6. The party officially starts at 5 o'clock. It's from 5 until 7:30. Now, we had VIP tickets available. They are gone. The VIP tickets have been swiped up, but still, look, that gave you a couple of drinks and a cigar and a cigar cutter, but you can still come for free. But we do need you to RSVP. If you go to 971talk.com/events, you'll see the page to RSVP. We'd love to have you that night. We'll do the first portion of the show sort of like standard, I think, and then we're going to feature some of the folks that have been on the air here during those 25 years on the show starting at 5. We'd like to thank our sponsors that make this possible: Rhino Shield, U.S. Men's Medical Center, Lore Wine and Spirits, Old Dominic Distillery, and Rayburn Wines. And again, this is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Lit Cigar Lounge, 971talk.com/events to get registered for the party. We'd love to see you in a couple of weeks.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
You know, I got to tell you, that every once in a while, it doesn't happen often, I will misjudge a story and think, oh, there's not much to that. I don't really care. So that kind of happened this morning. I was watching some of the Fox coverage, and they went to a news conference in California about the Palisades fire. We covered that extensively earlier this year, much of it with the help of Brian Ping, who is a St. Louis native who works at KNX in Los Angeles. But federal prosecutors, this is the U.S. attorney in L.A., have made an arrest of a 29-year-old Uber driver. And they say he's the one that intentionally sparked one of the most destructive fires in California history. He's now in custody with multiple charges.
He is charged with starting a fire on January 1st, which is the fire that burned down the Palisades. It did take a week to reignite. But he is charged with starting the Palisades fire. He started it on January 1st.
So there was rumor, a couple of these things can be true at the same time. So they thought maybe that the fire did start in the aftermath of fireworks that were set off on New Year's Eve. So that didn't happen, but they think it did start technically on January 1st, and then it kind of smoldered. But some of the details that they unveiled at this news conference were fascinating.
The evidence is based on, you could see some of the key evidence, including the fact that he was the only person in this location at the time this fire ignited. We have no other indication that any other person was there. There were no fireworks at the time. We have several cameras in the vicinity that are there designed to detect fires, and this fire was detected almost right away by those sensors. So there's no indication of fireworks or other things that would have started this. He was the only person there. You heard about this music video and song he would listen to, which had imagery of fires, and you could see some of his thought process in the months leading up, where he was generating some really concerning images up on ChatGPT, which appears to show a dystopian city being burnt down.
He even, I guess, you know, and some of this is still early reporting, but he had set the fire and then at one point allegedly had seemingly tried to go back to try to help put it out, to act, I guess, like he had nothing to do with it. Then he did take some images with his iPhone of the fire burning out of control. It's the typical situation with the neighbors who live near him, saying there's a guy who lived next to him, Peter Chang, in Hollywood for about 4 years. And he says he was actually a really nice guy. He just set one of the worst fires ever in this country's history.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.